to Dirt Doctor Radio, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Telephone number to be with me on the show is 1-866-444-3478. It's 866-444-DIRT, an easy way to remember that. The website, dirtdoctor.com. And what else? Oh, Facebook, if you go to Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor on Facebook, there's quite a bit of activity there, and it's kind of an easy way. I do a little daily tip, although I'm behind on that like I am with the newsletter, and I'll get all caught up on that today and tomorrow, and we'll get back into talking about whatever you want to talk about there, as we will today. My tea is simple and good today. It's one you ought to try if you haven't already. It's yerba mate is the base, and ginger, and honey. A lot of honey. I like a tea with honey in it. I was talking coffee with some people this weekend, and we were all kind of sharing information about what coffees we like and dislike. I'm not a big Starbucks fan. I drink black coffee, and I rarely even put honey in my coffee. I just drink it black. And theirs, to me, is too bitter. The 7-Eleven taste has a better taste to me. But my best coffee by far, by tenfold, is coffee we get. We get beans from local people here and grind the beans and use a French press to make coffee, and it is hard to beat. So if you haven't tried that, you might give that a shot. We'll talk to a couple people, and then I want to talk about beneficial nematodes and trichogramma wasp. You know, it's that time of the year. In fact, if anything, a little late to get those both out. There was something new that came up about trichogramma wasp, and I want to throw that out on the for conversation with the audience, and we'll do something on Facebook as well. But in general, I recommend it to every gardener out there, every homeowner out there, because you're going to get, if you put out beneficial nematodes and trichogramma wasp, you're going to get control of a lot of pests in a preventative way that are some of the worst pests that we deal with. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. Right now, Alice in Dallas next up. Hello, Alice.
Good morning. I wanted to ask about my St. Augustine grass that used to be. Now it's a lot of weeds, and someone told me, well, in one small area on the, I would say the west side of the house, there may be a maybe 8x6 area where there's still St. Augustine grass, but over the last 4 years that I've lived here, everything else has turned to weed. And I want to know, can that area be, can we dig out a part of and weed out a part of the area that's weed and transplant that St. Augustine over into that area, and will it grow? And if it does, how am I supposed to keep this St. Augustine thriving in my yard?
Well, St. Augustine will grow. You can transplant it. It transplants very easily, but it has to have decent conditions. The first thing that tricks a lot of people is, I think a lot of people think it'll grow in pretty dark shade, and it won't. It'll grow in some shade, but it likes full sun as far as what it would choose as its best environment, just like Bermuda grass is always your buffalo grass. So it's a grass that will grow if it has the right kind of conditions. Do you have an irrigation system or a good way to water?
I have a water hose.
Well, it is also a grass in full sun that needs plenty of water. Of all the grasses that we recommend, it requires the most water.
Okay.
So you have to consider that. And if you don't mind watering, if you have enough sunlight, you can dig it out of an area where it's growing well, move it to a new place, and it'll do fine. What I recommend is making sure that the soil is not compacted or contaminated, and get it nice and level and loosened if it's all tight and compacted, and then move the sod over. I was talking to a guy yesterday in Houston. They have good luck doing spot sodding. We don't as much here because it doesn't spread quite as fast, and we normally recommend that the St. Augustine grass be planted solid sod, just butt to butt, so it's in to begin with, and the weeds don't have a chance to get started between the pieces. But the the more economical way is to put in 4-inch by 4-inch plugs, you know, every foot to 18 inches, and water, and let it spread. But again, you've got to have at least a half a day of direct sun for it to do well. The most common question that I get, and other people in this business the same way, is how do I get the grass growing again in the shade? And the answer is you can't unless you take the trees out or the building out that's shading the area. So if that's the case, you need to go with ground covers and mulches rather than grass.
Well, I wanted to, I noticed that since the weeds have taken over the yard, and this you spoke about being the yard being compacted, I noticed my yard is so uneven now in places. What has caused that? Is that soil erosion? It's like little. It's just uneven.
Well,
it
could be. It could be animals. Is it clay or is it sandy soil?
It's clay.
Okay. It could be animals. It could be erosion. It could be all kinds of things. If you want to do, I wrote a piece on Facebook, and we may have done a newsletter about it too, about leveling an area and getting compacted soil fixed. And sounds like it might be good in your situation. Hire somebody or rent a core aerator and run the aerator over the area and pull cores, you know, punch holes and pull cores out of the ground. And then in the high areas, you rake the cores over into the low areas. You do kind of a cut and fill. And then you spray the whole place where it's bare and where you want to improve the soil and plant new grass with hydrogen peroxide right out of the grocery store or the drugstore, the 3% stuff. You can mix it with water and cut it 50-50 if you want to make it go farther. It starts the flocculation, starts the crumb structure being created in soil that's in terrible shape. You only do it one time, and then you plant everything. And once it's planted, you put a light broadcasting of compost over the top of the sod planting or spot sod planting, if you want to go that way, after it has been planted.
Okay.
And then use the organic program, and that's all you have to do. Chop out the weeds that are the worst, spot spray them with vinegar and products like the Avenger, and fertilize with organic fertilizers, and you'll get the weeds taken care of.
Now, Ken, after this, if I spray the weeds, or after I spray the weeds with this vinegar or Avenger, can you put that out as compost? I heard you say that you should always compost with things that are found on your property.
Yeah, weeds are great compost. If you chop them out, just throw them in the compost green. They're loaded with trace minerals because they're there trying to help an imbalance in the soil. That's why they're growing. There's always a reason why there's insects or there's weeds growing, and it's something that they're kind of trying to help you with. Figure out what you need to do. And using these organic fertilizers and amendments is what you need to do, and then the weeds won't be there. And once you get a certain good mixture of biological activity, the microbes in the soil, the weeds won't tend to germinate nearly as much, and you won't have as big a problem.
Well, yeah, and I just want one last little interjection here. You mentioned insects. What causes those gnatty bugs? I've never seen so many of those little gnatty bugs in all of my life, over here in Texas. What's up with that?
Well, gnats come from soil and pots that have been kept too wet, and also from food that you've got around in your place that you've let get a little bit too ripe. So move that stuff into the compost pile. Don't water your potted plants as much. You can kill the fungus gnats with a product called BTI. It's the same thing that we use for mosquitoes. Appreciate your call very much. I'm going to talk to Mr. Mike, Mr. Garlic. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
Well, I've heard you talking about the GMO and corn, and this has been on my mind for a while. I understand countries like Hungary just burned 100,000 acres of corn or some such. And my thought is this pollen has been released into the environment for some time, and it's been taken up into the atmosphere. is there any way that we're not going to have worldwide GMO contaminated corn? Is there a place on the planet that it's going to grow that not be contaminated?
Cows out of the barn.
Oh, that's not good news, Howard.
Your guess is as good as mine, but I didn't say that. I should have said this at the end of my diatribe about GMOs. By the way, somebody asked what the O was, organisms, genetically modified organisms. But the thing is, we don't know what it's going to do. That's the biggest issue of all. We don't know what the long-term ramifications are. Their research hadn't looked into any of that stuff.
We're keeping our eye on them.
Hang in there. I hope we don't get it into garlic, but we'll stay on our toes. I'll see you later.
Yes, sir.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Tired of poor performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to asktheplant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's asktheplant.com or call 956-383-0739.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green, safe for your kids and pets. Proper fertilization can improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't damage your grass when hot, dry weather arrives. Use Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. I've got an interesting subject that came up on the trip I want to talk to you about a little bit, too, related to soil testing. But first, in Paris, it's Dottie. How are you today?
I am great, and it is another one of God's beautiful days.
Do you have sunshine over there?
No, it is smooth, cloudy, nice breeze blowing. It's perfect for playing in the yard.
That's great. You probably heard I was in Houston, and for Houston, the weather was fantastic. It was one of the few days is not too humid down there, but the wind was blowing like crazy. That's the only problem.
Well, it's just a gentle breeze here
today. That's great.
I've got lots and lots of iris, and finally my trees have grown up, and I've got leaves now, but I've got lots of leaves in my iris beds. Can I use my leaf blower and blow them out of the iris beds to expose their roots to the heat? Should I leave them alone and go ahead and scatter my dry molasses?
Well, that's a good question, Dottie. It's kind of double-edged sword there, isn't it? The heat on the rhizomes that are showing, you know, is a good thing.
Yes.
And if you blow, if you do blow, and it might not be a bad idea, at least to try it in one area and see if it makes a big difference over an area where you don't do it.
Okay.
But when you blow it, you need to be very gentle with the blowing. Those blowers, as you probably already know, can take some of the topsoil off. You know, that top just minute layer right at the surface is important.
You have to stand back.
Yeah, just be very delicate with how you use it. And I do it in some areas and not in others. And let's see how your irises respond to it. I leave kind of natural mulch of leaves and things in the two little iris beds that I have, and they were there when we bought the place. It's our office, the experimental gardens.
Uh-huh.
And they're like a lot of irises that people ask me about, and they scratch their head. Mine were blue at first and have turned white.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people say that's impossible to do, but it ain't impossible. I've seen it myself.
I've got some hybrid iris that have resorted back to white.
Yep.
It does happen. Okay, I'll do it. A little bit and leave some of it on there so it will deteriorate into the ground and feed those corms and throw my dry molasses out on them.
Yeah, let's do that and let's see which way works, and we'll come up with some good data here for people.
Let me share something else with you. Through the years, I have battled those horrible blackbirds just robbing my bird feeders bad.
Uh-huh.
this year I don't, and I wondered why, but I don't have those blackbirds. I discovered I have a bird dog.
Okay.
He has seen me through the years battling those birds, and now he has took it on himself. When he sees them or hears them, he runs out into the yard and stands guard.
That's great. That's great.
But now the beneficials, they don't bother. They don't bother him at all. He doesn't bother them. They just cohabit together.
That's great. That's a smart dog. What kind of dog is it?
I don't know what he is.
A mutt. That's the best kind.
Yes. When my mother got sick and passed away with cancer, he came to live with me, and he's my shadow. He goes everywhere with me.
That's great.
He's great.
Send us a picture.
Okay. Have a blessed day.
Okay, Dottie. See Bye. You. Thank you very much. All right. Open lines. Jump in here. 866-444-3478. Nematodes and trichogramma wasps I didn't completely finish talking about. Beneficial nematodes you could have put out earlier, and you might make a note for next year, especially for those of you in the South who have had flea problems or are having flea problems right now. You can put the beneficial nematodes out when it's a lot colder than they'll tell you. And it's kind of an interesting deal. I mean, the people that, you know, that raise them and sell them will warn against putting them out when it's too cold. But Bob Webster and I both, we talk about it on his show sometimes when we visit. We put them out sometimes in January in San Antonio and in Dallas in February when it starts to warm up just a little bit, but still pretty cold. And we get control of things that get started early, like fleas and like thrips that are so much of a problem with roses and various kinds of other perennials and permanent, you know, woody plants too in some cases. So don't worry about that. If it's relatively mild weather, even though it's still getting pretty cold, freezing at night, you get those nematodes out, water them in, they're going to be fine down in the soil, and they'll give you control of a lot of different pests. And I recommend the beneficial nematodes for everybody out there. If you've got some property where you've got a chance for pests, whether you're a gardener or not, everybody needs to worry to some extent about fleas and termites and things like that, and they'll take care of that issue, those issues. The other one, trichogramma wasp. Now, I got some new, really interesting comments on our trip to Houston talking to somebody who had bought some trichogramma wasps from Cunafin down Eagle Pass. And, you know, I talk about them. They're interesting people, to say the least, but the quality of fly parasites for people that deal with livestock and so forth, and also the trichogramma wasps, their quality is superb. But they apparently are warning people, even in writing, that the trichogramma wasps can also kill butterflies. Well, we've been telling people for a long time that that doesn't happen, and we've got an awful lot of anecdotal evidence that it doesn't happen, because I use them a lot at home, and I had a ton of Gulf fritillaries last year on my very unusual white passion vine, for one thing, and we had all kinds of other butterflies in the garden as well. So we'll talk about it just a little bit more before we go back to the phones. Howard Garrett, don't go away. I'll be back.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. They have big differences to bridge, but House Speaker John Boehner says he, quote, absolutely trusts President Obama. Boehner talking to ABC TV's This Week program, saying the two men have a good relationship. Indian police say they've arrested six men in connection with a sexual assault on a Swiss tourist in central India. A police officer says the men have admitted to the crime. Turkish police have detained a man wanted in connection with the killing of a New York City woman last month in Istanbul. Saray Sierra, the 33-year-old mother of two boys, was murdered while on a solo vacation in Turkey. And a Carnival cruise ship that experienced problems with its propulsion system has arrived back on schedule in Tampa Bay, Florida this morning. The problem forced the Carnival Legend to reduce its speed and to cancel one stop in the Cayman Islands. This is SRN News.
pulling bra straps, uncomfortable underwire, and fit that's not flattering. Sound familiar? Now you can lift, support, and have the comfort you've always wanted with Genie Bra. And right now, Genie Bra is looking for the first 50 women who want to try a Genie Bra for 30 days for just $1. That's right. They're giving 50 listeners the opportunity to try the bra that millions of women are raving about for just $1 during this risk-free trial. Be the first to secure your Genie Bra by calling 1-800-406-7993 or go to DollarGenieBra.com. With Genie Bra, you'll never fidget or adjust your bra again. The secret is in the woven Everlast Comfort Stretch fabric that never loses its shape and is machine washable. Just match your bra size to your clothing size. It's that easy. So, whether you're petite or full-figured, Genie Bra conforms to make you look your best. Be one of the first 50 listeners and secure your 30-day risk-free trial for just $1. Call 1-800-406-7993, 1-800-406-7993, or go to DollarGenieBra.com. That's DollarGenieBra.com.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Louisville picked up their third Big East title by overcoming a 16-point deficit in the second half to beat Syracuse 78-61. Orange coach Jim Boeheim.
Louisville is the hardest team for us to play at the end of 4 days. It's very difficult to come back and go against a pressing team in the fourth day. That's really hard to do.
Ohio State and Wisconsin play for the Big Ten title. The Buckeyes beat Michigan State 61-58. Wisconsin was a 68-56 winner over Indiana. Badgers forward Ryan Evans with 16 points says their defense was the key to the win.
I think we play great defense, and that forces them to take better shots.
Kansas beat Kansas State 70-54 to take the Big 12 Conference Championship. Miami topped North Carolina State 81-71 in the ACC semifinal. The Canes will play North Carolina in today's final. The Tar Heels beat Maryland 79-76 in the other semi. This is Esser in Sports. Memphis went to two overtimes to beat Southern Miss, 91-79 to win Conference USA title. Oregon was a 78-69 winner over UCLA to grab the Pac-12 Conference title. Southeastern Conference semifinal winners, Florida beat Alabama and Mississippi down Vanderbilt. Atlantic 10 Conference semifinal winners, St. Louis over Butler and VCU beat UMass. Other tournament winners to take automatic NCAA bids, Albany, Southern University, North Carolina A&T. Akron, Montana, Pacific, New Mexico, Northwestern State, and New Mexico State. In the NBA, San Antonio beat Cleveland 119-113. The Spurs increased their Western Conference lead to a game and a half over second-place Oklahoma City. Other NBA winners, Washington, Boston, Philadelphia, Portland, and Utah. In the NHL, it was Pittsburgh 3-0 over the Rangers. Penn's right wing Bo Bennett says goalie Marc-Andre Fleury was outstanding.
He was unbelievable today. You see how calm he is in that, directing traffic and moving pucks.
Penguins tie Montreal with 42 points atop the Eastern Conference. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. The new comment that came up about trichogramma wasps hurting the butterflies, I'll definitely be talking to Kunafin tomorrow to see what they have to say. I get the feeling that people that raise beneficials really, really kind of go overboard about warning you about all the wrong things that can go on. I know for a fact that they tell you not to put out beneficial nematodes and maybe even the trichogramma wasps when it's too cold, and we haven't seen that that's a great problem either. So anyway, we'll see what we find out and talk about it on Facebook and on the radio and everything else. In the meantime, I'm certainly going to continue to use them because the control of the pest seems to, even if it does hurt some butterflies, it doesn't seem to hurt them very much, and it controls the pest like crazy. So anyway, more on that later. Right now it's Valerie and Irving's turn. Hi, Valerie.
Good morning, Dr. Garrett. My question is about irises. I'm new to planting them. I have three questions. I have iris. I want to know how deep to plant them. Should the rhizome show? And then occasionally I get a rhizome borer or something gets after them. And the third question is the rhizome itself sometimes will turn mushy and disintegrate. I don't know what's going on.
Well, you're thinking along the right lines for sure. They should be planted very shallowly, and that's why we were having the conversation with Dottie about whether to mulch them or not, because they grow naturally right on the surface of the soil. And some people think that, having access to sunlight, helps to have better production, better color, taller plants, and the whole deal. Mushiness normally comes from being kept too wet. Some irises are very xeric. You know, the Siberian irises and various ones, they like very dry soil and everything. And others, like the Japanese iris and things like that, they like bog plant conditions. So look at that. Okay. Use a probe and see how the moisture level is staying in the soil and adjust that. That's probably what's happening there, unless you're over-fertilizing or doing something else in excess. It's probably related to water.
Okay.
And then the rest of it is just, you know, the overall basic organic program is what they like. They like gentle organic fertilizers, and you already realize they don't like to be buried too deeply in the ground.
I just put a fine leaf mulch over them. They're still, the rhizomes are covered. They're, some of them are showing just a little bit. But should I worry about an insect getting after them, chewing on them?
I don't think so. Are you using an organic program?
Yes, about 10 years now.
Okay,
but
great.
It's new for me for the irises.
Okay, and they're in full sun?
They are.
Yeah, do you know what kind they are?
We were traveling through Pennsylvania and found some people just selling them. They have 5 acres of irises,
okay.
So I have a different varieties.
And they had them growing on dry land situation,
yes,
not in a
yes.
bog.
Okay. Full sun.
Just be careful about your watering. You know, we hadn't had a lot of rain, so my only guess at this point is that you may have been overwatering just a little bit too much, or you could have maybe when you did the bed preparation got a little bit too much of a good thing, you know, in the spot
okay.
where those are staying a little mushy. That's the only thing you can do wrong sometimes with organics is a little bit too much of a good thing.
Okay. Then sometimes I see pill bugs or those chewing on them. Is that a secondary? They're already going downhill and these little insects get in there and start chewing.
Yeah, I see that occasionally. Dust some natural diatomaceous earth in the area. You might dust a little lava sand in there. There's a spinosad product. It's called Sluggo Plus, I believe is the name of it. It's very effective on pill bugs and sow bugs if you need to use an organic pest control.
Okay.
But look at your water and your moisture, soil moisture level. I think you'll find that if you get that straightened out, I think you're going to be okay.
All right. Thank
okay?
you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
It's Todd's turn in Bells, Texas. Hi, Todd.
How you doing?
What's going on?
Do you know any data or any anecdotal evidence of the safety of using concrete masonry units, cinder blocks, as raised bed border for vegetable garden?
Well, I recommend it. I use them. I've got them on a wall that I have some plants that abut at home. There probably are some heavy metals and so forth in the material, but it's all locked up. It's not available kind of metals
yeah.
and nutrients. Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it a bit. I think it's a good tool. I think cinder blocks are great because, for one, you can move them around if you want to and change the shape of the raised beds and all that kind of thing. One little trick that you can use, and you have to experiment around with it about what you do so it doesn't just fall all the way through and wash out, but you can put the blocks with the holes up and fill the holes with some kind of volcanic gravel or rock, and you set up, you know, kind of a paramagnetic edge on your board.
Great idea.
And it also helps hold the moisture in the bed for a lot longer period of time than just the cinder blocks do by themselves. So I don't not only do I not have a problem, I think they're a pretty good tool to use.
Okay. Well, you alleviated a little bit of anxiety about that. So stay on the GMO topic because I think it's important.
It's a big one.
Keep everybody informed.
Thanks,
Thank
John.
You. Uh-huh.
Okay, open line 866-444-3478. Here's Brent at Lake Whitney. Hi, Brent.
Well, good morning.
What's
Thank
up?
You for talking to me this morning.
Sure.
I got a question. You mentioned earlier this morning about the use of tree trimmings as mulch, all the benefits that you incur in doing it. I have a lot that I just acquired that has never been had any kind of care given to it. So I clearly, and in so doing, accumulated a lot of cedar mulch. I ground it all up, mulched it or tripped it, pulverized it. And now I've got all this mulch, and I'd sure like to use it on the earth there. But I've been told that this was not a good thing.
Whoever told you that, you don't need to listen to them about anything else anymore, because it's a wonderful tool. It's one of the best mulches. That's what I talk about all the time, is shredded native tree trimmings. They're the best. That's the best mulch you can use. And cedar is wonderful. It's not only no problem, it's wonderful. Somebody from A&M may have told you that, or somebody that has gotten some bad information from some of the universities, but we've used it a lot on ranches and everything. I've worked on some ranches consulting with people who've cut it down and put it in windrows to help prevent erosion. They've just dropped it right on the ground where the trees are cut down. And in every case, they're stimulating new growth, biological activity, improvement to the soil, and good production on whatever they're trying to grow.
Okay, well, that's good news, really, because I wanted to use this stuff, but I was cautious of it, and like you said, I've probably been giving some bum advice on the thing.
No question about it. It's great stuff. I think there's a a need to badmouth things that people can't figure out a way to make any money out of. You know, that the best mulch there is just grinding up stuff that grew on your property and putting it right down, recycling it just like nature does with the forest and the prairie, and you'll see great results, no problems at all.
Well, this came from a couple of different sources. They cited the fact that the cedar is very slow to break down, and therefore it's not going to be very beneficial for some time.
No, that's not true.
It will break down quickly.
Yep. Does a nice job. We've got so much evidence of this, it's incredible. Bob Webster, you know, who I do a visit with on his show every Saturday morning, his place and his partner, Roberta Church, and they both use it on their ranches, and we've been talking about it for years, about how quickly it breaks down and how quickly it improves the soil and how quickly biodiversity starts to happen in the form of grasses and forbs and beneficial insects and just life in general. There's nothing bad about it. It's all good.
Well, that's great news, and I certainly appreciate you sharing it with me.
Thanks for calling.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you later. Yeah, once again, if you just started listening, the best mulch, without question, is shredded tree trimmings, shredded native tree trimmings that have been sitting around and have composted a little while. They're even better, but fresh out of the grinder, fresh out of the tree trimmer's truck, and I beg for them all the time myself when I don't have enough myself. To use as top dressing mulch around plants, there's never any nitrogen draft because shredded tree trimmings have buds and cambium layer and bits of green tissue, and all that is protein and nitrogen and various nutrients, and that mixed with the carbon materials is just a perfect mulch. Now, on the other hand, the mulches that are mostly carbon are in general terrible products, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in detail. I hadn't done that in a while and need to. Ken in Arlington, though, is next up. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
Doing great.
All right. Yeah, I talked to you here last week about some bare spots there in the pastures on the home place. We haven't got around to getting the digital pictures yet, but I do appreciate talking to you.
Sure.
But I've got a few things here. Our kids and the grandkids play so heavily in the yard. It looks like a herd of elephants has been stomping around in the yard. And I heard you mention about aeration. I had been wanting to do that, but we're so low on the budget as far as, you know, backfilling, you know, with the something, you know, along with the what it tears out of the ground. Would the dry molasses? Well, that's about as far as we can go as far as the I can't afford, you know, bags and bags of compost. Would that work all right?
Yeah, it's what I do a whole lot. What you might do also, Ken, is you get some hydrogen peroxide, since this is a startup type of a deal. Spray hydrogen peroxide all over the whole place, and then put the dry molasses out. And then you can use, as you make your own compost, or if you can afford to buy compost, put it out, you know, as the third step whenever you can.
Right. Well, I've aerated, you know, back when my kids were young, you know, and I've got the grandkids over here, you know, all the time. And the tree company, the power company has come in along the back fence line and wiped out all the trees. Pretty much on the back fence line.
Have they cut them and ground them up or sprayed them and killed them?
No, they've just cut them.
Okay. Well, if you can get some of that mulch to use, especially in landscape, since you don't know if they sprayed anything or not, use it in the landscape areas. We did a deal years ago when Logan was a little kid and was playing on monkey bars and swings, you know, back in the grass, set it up in the St. Augustine grass. And she and her friends, you know, wore it out under,
right.
You know, playing all the time. Well, I put some mulch. In that case, I put an East Texas shredded bark mulch in that area. And not only did it provide a cushion for them, it let the grass grow back in. Let
right.
me put you on hold. If you had something else, you got to run, be right back. There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com. The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
One of the most important organic product manufacturers in Texas is the Medina Corporation down in Hondo, Texas. The company's been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil-building products longer than anyone in the business. Medina has quality fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulas. Medina products work by stimulating the soil biology to help all plants. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products that help you spend your budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right at the same time. They have a brand new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food, which is great. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com, and you'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell quality organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And the open line is 1-866-444-3478. One of the other things we were talking off the air there about Brussels sprouts and broccoli a little bit, and Garrett juice spray on a regular basis is pretty hard to beat whatever you're trying to grow and get really good production. Spray once a month at least. Some people like to do it more than that. If you don't know what Garrett juice is, the formula is there under guides on DirtDoctor.com. You can make it yourself with stuff right around the house, pretty much. You can buy some commercial things, too. You can also buy commercial versions of the product if you don't like making your own. But that mixture is pretty incredible. Compost tea or liquid humate, which is what's in the commercial products, and vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and fish. And that mixture, that combination, stimulates biological activity great. It functions as a very mild fertilizer. It's the best bud and flower and fruit setter, and all those things are related, obviously, that exists out there. It helps. It's a root stimulator that's second to none. It's probably the very best. But I ran into something new about Garrett juice on the trip to Houston. We were doing our talk in Wabash Antique and Feed, and one of the listeners, one of the guests came up, listener too, came up and was talking about the fact that his organic garden was going great and all that. And he said, I wanted to tell you that I had brown patch in St. Augustine grass, and he said the Garrett juice just totally wiped it out, just totally brought it under control and hadn't had a problem since. And it was an interesting little tip because I keep – when we first came up with the idea with the mixture, it developed over a period of years. We thought of it as just a foliar feeding material, and then somebody suggested – how well it worked on bud setting and flowers, and somebody else on new seedling germination establishment and root stimulation and all that. So we just kept adding these different things that it did. And here we got a new one. I haven't noticed that. And I think one of the reasons I haven't noticed it is when we spray Garrett juice around our place, we'll spray some on the turf, but I don't tend to concentrate on that. And we rarely have any diseases. So I haven't noticed that specifically. So those of you that are still fertilizing too much or watering too much and have brown patch and or take all patch, either one, spraying and drenching really well, maybe more than once. I don't know how often you have to do it to get this effect or not, but he was very definite in the fact that it works. So give it a shot and give me a report back about how it works for you. The other thing was about the negative side of mulching, and you need to talk about it. I mean, we do talk about it. It's in the new book. One of the things that John Ferguson added to the book was great detail on the different mulches and what's good and bad about them. He also talked in more detail about compost than anybody ever has, too. So if you haven't seen that, it's in the Organic Management for the Professional book, the new book that John and Michael Amaranthus and I did. And it's available out there, Natural Organic Warehouse, Amazon.com, you know, all the places. If it's not in your store, which it probably isn't, yeah, it's a pretty new book. And I think a lot of people, because of the name, think it's only for professionals, not for the homeowners. That was just kind of the to gig the professionals a little bit, to get them to try to learn about some of this stuff. It's as much to help the homeowners understand it, still written in layman's terms, but understand it in more detail so they can communicate with the people in the business that they deal with. So it might be a good gift to give to your landscape contractor or golf course superintendent or whatever kind of person you work with. But the mulches that aren't so good, unfortunately, are the ones that are sold and used the most. Top of the list is pine bark. And it still surprises people, I guess, when they first hear me say that. But the reason is, just think about the basics of it. What is bark? Bark is a protective coating for the outside of the tree, and it's designed by nature to resist decay and resist the things that we really want to have happen in the soil. It's got some natural chemicals in it that resist insect and disease attack, especially the terpenes and the alcohols that are in there. That's why they're there. Mulch that's just bark has some issues, and pine bark has the biggest issues of all. First of all, it won't stay in place. It washes away and blows away. It doesn't stay there. And if it doesn't stay there, it doesn't do you any good. Pine needles, on the other hand, is completely different chemistry. It's a great top dressing mulch. The only negative is the look. If you don't have pine trees on your property, to me it looks a little strange. But if it doesn't bother you, it's a fine mulch. It's great. It will burn. It'll simmer. A project in downtown Dallas did that. It caught on fire and smoldered for a long period of time, so I got to be careful with that. The worst ones, and I'll continue this in the third hour. Those that don't get the third hour, if your station doesn't, listen on dirtdoctor.com. We stream it live, and it'll be podcast for you. And we'll write more about it in newsletters and things like that. The ones that are mostly carbon, mostly wood, and then dyed with toxic materials, you've seen those red and black ones? They're horrible. They shouldn't be on the market. And I'll talk about more on that when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, to be with me is 1-866-444-3478. The website's dirtdoctor.com. To get the newsletter, it's free. Just send us your email. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com or fill out the form that's on the site there. Happy St. Patrick's Day. We'll talk a little bit more right after this.